Okay, so welcome back, everyone, to our Experience Shabbat Shir. This week, we are speaking about the meaning behind the lighting of the Shabbat candles. And the reason why I chose this topic for this week in particular was for the very simple reason that last week, when we were speaking about the mitzvos of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos, of honoring and enjoying Shabbos, I made a drive-by statement that honestly haunted me throughout the entire weekend and throughout most of the early week, in which I kind of made fun of Halakos Neiros a little bit, God forbid, never to actually mock or make fun of them, but I made some sort of a slight comment against them. Something like, clearly it doesn't have the same priority that we need to be giving it. I'm just going to mute a couple of you. I said something like that, and that really bothered me, because clearly Halakos Neiros has a high priority, and the reason why I say it has a high priority is because a lot of people care about it so much, and not only do a lot of people care about it so much, but a lot of the mefarshim and the commentaries throughout Jewish history have lauded and said how important of a mitzvah Hadlakas Neiros actually is, of lighting the Shabbos candles on Friday night, is as we go into Shabbos. And so the purpose of this shir this evening is to run through this topic at somewhat of a quick pace, but hopefully a pace where everyone can stay with me, and to really get a real good feeling and understanding of what it is exactly the mitzvah is and where its place is in Judaism. And I say specifically where its place is in Judaism because of the fact that the truth is what I said last week, which some of you probably totally forgot what I said, that's okay too, but what I did say last week was actually based in the sources, and that is that Halakas Neiros, when you prioritize and list the mitzvos, you would always assume in general that all Torah commandments are more important than rabbinic commandments, for the very simple reason because Torah commandments are divine, they're from the mouth of God, and so when God commands you to do something, then that obviously has a lot more clout than if the rabbis were to command you to do something. And therefore, as a result, if Hadlakas Neiros fits into the category of honoring and enjoying Shabbos, which in general we do assume, not everyone agrees, but for the most part we do assume that those are rabbinic commandments, so if those are rabbinic commandments, then that means Hadlakas Neiros is a rabbinic commandment, and therefore Hadlakas Neiros by definition would have to be a little bit less than all of the other Torah commandments that you find when it comes to Shabbos. So for example, if I ask you what's more important, making Kiddush or making Havdalah or lighting Shabbos candles, you would assume that number three on that list would be Hadlakas Neiros, lighting Shabbos candles. And the problem with that is the way that people seem to approach it. People seem to say that, wow, Shabbos candles, that's like, you know, you can't forget that, and you'll see how important it is not to forget. But so let's try to understand over the next 15, 25 minutes or so, what exactly the significance of this mitzvah actually is. And so the way to begin this conversation, as we have been lately, is to frame it with the words of the Rambam, to frame it with the words of Maimonides, because the way he phrases this mitzvah is just really, really odd. And the reason why I say that is because the Rambam and many other great rabbis and mefarshim are very famous for being meticulous with their words, but the Rambam probably is probably more well known than any other mefarish in terms of being so scrupulous in terms of how he chooses every single word, such that the mefarshim over the years, the commentaries throughout Jewish history, have always taken his words and read them very carefully to make a diuk, to make a slight inference from one extra letter or from one missed letter. So we'll have to see what he writes, because what he writes is striking. Listen to the text that he says regarding Hadlakas Neiros. Hadlakas Ner b'Shabbos ein arashus. He starts off by saying, I want you to know something. When it comes to lighting Shabbos candles on Friday night, that's not a rashus. You don't have a choice. You are obligated. Imratza madlik v'imratza eno madlik. You can't say, you know what, tonight I don't feel like doing it, or tonight maybe I really do feel like doing it. That's not how this works. Velo mitzvah. And it's not a commandment that you're not obligated to run after until you really have to do it. Right? There are some mitzvos that are clearly not obligatory, and that I'm not required to go make sure I have bread every single day so that I can wash my hands, make a netilas yadayim every single day. That's clear. I only have to do the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. I have to make the bracha and wash my hands if I'm going to eat bread. If not, then I don't have to care about it so much. And so says the Rambam, lighting the Shabbos candles is not like that. Ela zechova. He says this is an absolute blanket obligation. Ve'echad anashim ve'echad anashim chayavin. A very important rule that most people are not aware of, or I should say a lot of people aren't aware of, but that is that both men and women are equally obligated in this. Lios b'vatan ner doluk b'Shabbos. To have a house that is lit on Shabbos. Afilu ein lo ma yocham. Listen to this. Even if he doesn't have what to eat. Shoel al pesachim. He should knock on the doors. V'lokeach shemen. And he should get oil from someone else, and he has to make sure to knock on doors and beg people for oil. If he doesn't have any money, he has to make sure to beg people for oil so that he can light the Shabbos candles, because this is, In the category, as we said, Oneg Shabbos, as we said, the Rambam also seems to imply that it is probably Kavod Shabbos as well. But over here, he says that it's Oneg Shabbos, and therefore, that's why one is obligated to go to such great lengths to light the Shabbos candles. V'chayav levarech chodem ha'alak, and then he says what the bracha is. But then he says, finally, v'nashim mitzuos al davar ze yoter min ha'anashim. And this is the word, these are the words that everyone knows quite well, whether or not they know the actual words is not important, but certainly the principle everyone knows, and that is that women are more commanded in this mitzvah than men are. Why? Interesting. Lefi shehin mitzuyos bevatim. This is a very not PC line to say, but because they're not because they're found in the houses and the households more. V'inha asukos b'malachas habayas, and they're more doing the housework a little bit more. They're more involved in the cooking and the laundry, and they, you know, they're the homemakers. Again, his words, not mine. And as a result of that, so since they're so involved in the house, so they should be the ones watching over the candles. Why should those two things be connected? It seems like what does one thing have to do with the other? What, men don't light candles? Back in the day when that was the main source of how a person would be able to see things in their home at night, and a man wouldn't do it, he'd have to call the woman over. That seems odd. Nowadays, what, men don't turn on lights in the house, they wait for the woman to turn the lights on? Sounds ridiculous. So we'll have to understand exactly what that means. But let's analyze this Rambam very quickly, just to go through some of the basic points that he made, and just such question what in the world he's actually talking about over here. Number one, he says that it's not a rishus. He says that it's not something that we can choose whether or not we want to do it or not. Is anything really a rishus? Like, we don't really view mitzvahs like that. Well, so like, taking a lulav, so you say maybe on Sukkot, maybe this morning I don't want to take lulav, so I don't have to. No, that's also a chuvah. Why does he go out of his way to say lighting Shabbos candles is not optional? Of course it's not optional. It's a rabbinic mitzvah. I don't care if it's a rabbinic mitzvah. It's still a mitzvah. One is obligated. Why would we think that there's a rishus, that we have the right to say maybe we should or should not do it? Number two, when he says that it's not like other mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs we don't really have to do, but we do it because we want to. So if we want bread, we have to wash our hands. But if not, we don't have to do it. He says this is not like other mitzvahs. Why does he have to say that? Why are we ripping on other mitzvahs over here? Okay, I understand. This is the chovah. This is an obligatory mitzvah that is not dependent on something else. Why do you have to specifically raise up hadlakas neiros by putting down some of the other mitzvahs? Number three, why does a person have to go to such great lengths to fulfill this mitzvah? Again, there are many Torah commandments that one is not obligated to go to such great lengths to fulfill. How come when it comes to lighting Shabbos candles, you have to knock on people's doors and beg for oil? And finally, we have to try to understand this idea that we mentioned at the end, and that is that why are women more obligated in this mitzvah than men are? I don't understand. Either there's an obligation or there's not an obligation. Quite frankly, more often than not, we have several circumstances throughout our Torah that men are more obligated than women, and there are many reasons for that, and that's not the topic of conversation right now. But the notion that women are more obligated than men, when truth be told, that the actual commandment is not like that. The actual commandment is that it applies equally, seemingly, to both men and women, but that it's become the predominant custom that women take more priority with this mitzvah and are the ones to actually fulfill the mitzvah in a household of of two. So why is it that women have taken priority over here? So we have to look through several sources to begin understanding what all this is about. The first source that we'll start with is the Torah. The Torah makes a comment and he says, you want to know why women are so linked to this mitzvah? Nothing to do with them being connected to the homes and their homemakers. Stop it with that. He says, you want to know what it's all about? The Hanashim Muzharos Bo Yoter Kedi. There's a midrash that says, why? Because women are responsible, also not so PC, women are responsible for extinguishing the light in the world. How so? It was Chava, Eve, who was the one who killed Adam HaRishon. How did she kill Adam HaRishon? Well, ultimately, she was the one who instigated the whole sin of eating from the tree of knowledge. And when they ate from the tree of knowledge, so, since she was the first one, she then made Adam do it. As a result of that, they were kicked out of the garden, and then death was introduced into the world. All these horrible things seem to have happened as a result of that. And since she was the one who instigated the whole thing, she is called she the first woman, and therefore all women are called being referred to as having extinguished the light from the world, and therefore they have to go out of their way to bring light into the world on Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, as we welcome in Shabbos. That's what the Torah says. The Shulchan Aruch has several comments in which he echoes many of the sentiments of the Rambam, but I'll quote one line that he says. That he writes as follows, that Hanashim Muzharos Bo Yoter Mimneishim Mitzuyos Bebayis Veosokos Betzarchi Abayis. He quotes the same idea of the Rambam. You want to know why women are obligated more than men? Because they are in the home more. And then he concludes with the words, don't have so much time, so I'll just say very briefly, the ending of that paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch is when he says, the reason why the reason why Hadlakas Neiros is so important, he says, one has to go out of their way to buy Shabbos candles and also Hanukkah candles, or sorry, rather, that one if one can only choose between lighting Shabbos candles or Hanukkah candles, one should light Shabbos candles, the very famous halacha, Mishum Shalom HaBayis. Because of Shalom HaBayis, one should always make sure that Shabbos candles are lit, because this somehow causes peace for the household. De'ein Shalom HaBayis below ner, because for whatever reason, when you don't have Shalom HaBayis unless you have a candle. Very practically, we'll try to explain this a little bit more as we go further, but very practically, what this means is that if you come into your house on Friday night, again, when there was no electricity, or even when there's electricity, if the lights were off, well, you're going to walk into the house, the first thing you're going to do is trip on the floor and you're going to knock over the chicken soup and it's going to be a mess and everyone's going to be yelling at each other. So you need to have a light very practically on Friday night, because you can't have Shalom HaBayis without a light that is lit. So that's the very basic understanding. But again, we'll have to see a little bit more about what all this means. So let's learn a little bit more about the significance of lighting the candles. The Gemara in Shabbos on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis makes the following statement the Gemara quotes Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says, "Haragil b'ner havyan le banim tamidei chachamim." Anyone who is regular to light Shabbos candles, meaning they prioritize this mitzvah, they will merit to have sons or children who are tamidei chachamim, who are incredible Torah scholars. And then the Gemara goes on to list several other great benefits of doing other mitzvahs. And what are the mitzvahs that the Gemara lists? Mezuzah, tzitzis, Kiddush Hayom. All of these other mitzvahs that the Gemara lists are Torah-level commandments. They're Zoraisa commandments. Mezuzah, tzitzit, etc. These are all Torah commandments. It's fascinating to note that the Gemara understands that even though, for the most part, we assume that Hadlakas Neris is a rabbinic commandment, it seems that on some level, the Gemara is trying to put Hadlakas Neris in the category of a Zoraisa. Not to say that it has the same level of obligation, but that it belongs categorically in the same merits as some of the other Torah commandments. That's how valuable Hadlakas Neris is. Other interesting aspects of Hadlakas Neris, one thing in particular, and that is that there's a very famous idea that the imahos, that the four mothers, that Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, most likely the latter two as well, that they all used to light Shabbos candles. There's a very famous Rashi that quotes the Medrash, in which once Sarah passed away, and Yitzchak found a new wife in Rivka, that she came into the tent, and what do you know? The tent was totally empty without his mother there, and now Rivka came into the tent, and the tent came back to life. What does it mean it came back to life, says Rashi? Well, the candles were lit once more, and the understanding is that these were Shabbos candles. Now, it's interesting because Rashi does say that these are very special Shabbos candles. These are not Shabbos candles that would be lit, when you would light candles, you would need to light them not on Shabbos, obviously, but every few hours, because obviously the candle runs out at some point. But what Rashi says is that these were very special candles. They were lit on Erev Shabbos, and they would last the entire week. But the point is that the assumption is that these are talking about Shabbos candles. So if you want to understand how important Shabbos candles are, well, the Imahos themselves lit Shabbos candles. And so maybe you'll say, well, we know that the Abos and the Imahos, that the forefathers and foremothers, that they actually kept all the mitzvos of the Torah. It's true. There is an opinion that says that they did keep all the mitzvos of the Torah, but for whatever reason, this mitzvah is singled out, and it seems like the predominant understanding is that the foremothers did in fact light Shabbos candles. That's one fascinating aspect of Hadlakas Neris. Another fascinating aspect can be found in the words of the Rama. We alluded to it earlier, and that is the fact that what happens if you forget to light Shabbos candles? Well, let's use another mitzvah as a scenario. Let's say a man forgets to put on tefillin one morning. What happens? Okay, well, he could put it on later in the afternoon. Let's say the whole day passes, unfortunately, and he totally forgets the mitzvah of tefillin. What happens the next day? What does he do? Puts on tefillin, nothing. Okay, he lost the opportunity to put on tefillin yesterday. Let's say a person shakes lulav every single day of Sukkot, which one should do. Men and women should both try to do it. And so what happens day three of Sukkot, and he's trying to shake the lulav, or he wants to shake the lulav, let's make it a little bit more clear cut. On the first day of Sukkot, where everyone agrees that it's a Torah commandment to shake the lulav, let's say he forgets to shake the lulav in the morning, in the afternoon, and he forgets. It's nighttime, that's already the second day of Sukkot. What does he do? Does he make up for it in some way? No, he doesn't take it twice, he just takes it once on the second day. There's no makeup. There's one mitzvah in the entire Torah in which we believe, well, davening also might have a makeup, but one action-based mitzvah in which we say that there's a makeup, and that is lighting Shabbos candles. What is the makeup? What happens if one person forgets to light a Shabbos candle? You get what's called a kenas. The rabbis talk about the fact that you get some sort of a rabbinic fine. The rabbis get so mad at a person who forgets to light Shabbos candles. Listen to what the Rama says. Ha'isha sheshacha pamachas. If a woman forgot one time in her life to light Shabbos candles, lahalik madlekas kol yameha gimel neros. Every single woman, if they forget to, or even a man, if you forget to light Shabbos Shabbos candles 1 week, and let's say a person normally lights two, next week you have to light three. The week after that, three. For the rest of your life, you have to pay the price because you made a mistake once in your life, and you have to light an extra Shabbos candle. What an unbelievable idea. We have no other concept like this in the entire Torah. Not a single other mitzvah. Is there a precedent for this, that we have a penalty for missing it, that you literally have to suffer the consequences of it the rest of your life? We have to understand where in the world that comes from, how that could be, why it would be so valuable. Another statement that we have comes from the Mishnah in Shabbos, the mitzvah, a Mishnah that is said every single Friday night, but for those of us who are in shul, and if you're not in shul, hopefully you still say it, and that is when we go through the second parak of Mishnayos, of Maseches Shabbos, we have the following line: Al shalosh averos nashim esos b'shas lirasan. There are three sins that women die because of their lack of adherence to them when they are in childbirth. What are the three things? Al she'inan zehiros benida ubechala ubehadlaka saner. Women who are not careful in nida, right? The laws of you know, marital intimacy, the laws of chala, of separating the dough from your loaf of bread, and finally lighting Shabbos candles. So the first two make a lot of sense. You know, taras mishpacha, the laws of family intimacy. So that's a very important area of mitzvos. When it comes to challah, well, that's like eating tray food. If a person has eats bread that you didn't take challah from, it's like you're essentially eating treif. It's like it's not kosher. So you're that's the laws of kashrus in a sense. When it comes to hadlakas neros, again, it's a rabbinic commandment. So why should that be on the same level that if a woman is not careful in lighting Shabbos candles, that she could die because of it? Unbelievable idea. We'll have to understand that a little further. With all of that, we can now ask the two questions that we'll spend a few more minutes discussing, and that is, what is the true essence and meaning and significance of Hadlakas Neros, and why do women seem to be such a crucial aspect of making all of this happen? It seems that the best place to start with this happens to be Chabad, right? The reason why Chabad is the most important place to start with this, I think we alluded to it last week, I think we actually mentioned it explicitly last week, is that Chabad has two mitzvos that they really love. Everyone knows, much more well known, that Chabad loves putting tefillin on men. You see a Jewish man on the street, a Chabad shliach finds a Jewish man on the street, and they find that they had not put on tefillin that day. Wow, that's like the best day for the Chabadnik. There was a great picture going around at the Siyam HaShas earlier this year, right, at MetLife Stadium, with hundred thousand Jews that were all there to celebrate the Siyam HaShas. And there was a picture of a Chabadnik putting on tefillin on one guy. And it was a great picture because the thought that someone would be at the Siyam HaShas, it means you're on some level of religiosity that you find it significant to be celebrating the completion of the entire Talmud. But still, there was a Chabadnik that came and went around asking, I don't know if he asked every single one of the 100,000 people there, but he went around and he found one person to put tefillin on. Everyone knows that Chabadnikim love putting tefillin on people. A little bit less known, but still equally important, is that Chabad also has that same drive and push to have women light Shabbos candles. Where does all that come from? Well, it all comes from a speech that the Rebbe gave on September 11th in 1974, way before September 11th had the connotation of what September 11th actually is, but he gave this big speech in which he said that lighting Shabbos candles is so important because in our world, which is so dark, we need to add light, and the way to add light is to light Shabbos candles. What came out of this is the very famous and well-known Neshek campaign. Neshek, it actually means like a kiss in Hebrew, or like a weapon, but here it's an acronym, and it's an acronym for Nerot Shabbat Kodesh, and that is that the Rebbe had told all of his shluchim that he wants everyone to enforce this and get this idea out there, that all women should be lighting Shabbos candles. The more women that light Shabbos candles, the better. And that's what became a huge custom of Chabad. And you'll see, like, the first thing that most Chabad houses do before any event, as long as it's on Friday, they will have all the women make sure they're lighting Shabbos candles because of how important it is in their mind and in their world. So why did the Rebbe have to focus on this so significantly? And so there are several sources that I'm going to go through now somewhat quickly, but again, coherently, hopefully, in which I think that it's really made clear why exactly Hadlakas Neros is so significant and why it's so important. We'll start with the first idea, and many of these ideas can be found in a very nice book called Shabbos Secrets, written by Rabbi David Mazels. And here is one idea that he writes. He says as follows: the Or HaChaim explains, Hashem created the world to last for 6 days, and every Shabbos the world receives an injection of renewed creative strength to last for another 6 days. At creation, the first thing that was brought into being was light. Therefore, the first mitzvah at the arrival of Shabbos is the kindling of the lights, to correspond with the light that was the first creation. What he says, and over here he's quoting the opinion of the Tzemach David, what he's saying over here is such a powerful idea, and that is that What is Shabbos in essence at the end of the day? It is a day in which we affirm within ourselves the fact that we believe that God created the world. Well, how does that day get started? Every single 7 days when we come to Shabbos again, how does that all get started? With lighting candles. Well, what is that all about? It's because we're remembering the whole of creation. How did all of creation start? God created light. We light Shabbos candles because it corresponds to the fact that God started off by creating the world with light. So all of Shabbos is a recognition, a reaffirmation that we believe that God created the world. And lighting Shabbos candles is what gets us started in that mentality. You want to understand how deep and how important it is to light Shabbos candles? It is the beginning of Shabbos. And of course, we all knew that, obviously, before I said it. But to internalize what that means, that it's the beginning of that reaffirmation of faith. That's why Shabbos candles, one reason why they're so significant, because it helps us get started in this reaffirmation of faith that we have once every 7 days. Another opinion quoted by the Ohev of Yisrael is the following. He says, Shabbos does not really need our lights. It's like a chutzpahdika thing. We humans think that the holy Shabbos day needs us to light a candle. What, it's not going to be a glorious, holy, lit-up day without our physical striking of a match? He says, no, yeah, Shabbos doesn't need that. Shabbos itself is a source of radiance. And with the arrival of Shabbos, every Jewish home is lit up with this splendor of Shabbos. Then why do we kindle Shabbos lights, he says? The sages tell us that every awakening above must be preceded by an awakening below. Hashem's blessing descends only if we take the first step. By kindling the Shabbos lights, we awaken Hashem's favor, and He will bestow His divine light on us. In other words, what is Hadlakas Neros all about? If you conceptualize Shabbos as a day in which we bring light into the world, in which we form and strengthen that connection with the Almighty, with God, well, God is going to go 90%, right? God's going to come mostly to us, but He wants to see us take that first step. We need to have Hishtadlus in life, and Hadlakas Neros is the recognition of that Hishtadlus. We're saying, God, we really want to have that connection with you, strike that match, light that candle. That was your first step. Now God will come down to us after we have put in a little bit of work, put in a little bit of effort. One other idea, quoted by the Yesod Yosef, is as follows. He says, if we would be on a spiritual level of Ruach HaKodesh, we would be able to see future events by gazing at the Shabbos lights. I won't pretend to know what that actually means for a second, but he says further that the Shabbos lights foretell the future with the same accuracy as the prophets did, speaking in the name of Hashem. So again, I have no idea what that actually means, but all it does is that it drives home the fact that even though it seems like such a simple act of lighting Shabbos candles, the truth is that there's such a deeper significance there. There's something so much more there that it actually represents some sort of a spiritual entity. And I think what all this is getting to is trying to hone on exactly what the Rebbe said about 40 years ago or so, and that is this, 50 years ago almost, and that is this idea that when we light the Shabbos candles, it's so clear that it represents so much more than just lighting that candle. It's clear that it's a representation of all these things, of a reaffirmation of faith, of a spiritual entity, of a spiritual greatness, and of course, of bringing light into the world, in a world that is filled with such darkness. When we strike that match to light our Shabbos candles, it's clear that we're striking the match of recognition that this day is so special for us. And we can, with that, understand why it is that women are the number one players in this mitzvah. Because if we go back to the understanding of this opinion that the Torah quoted way back at the beginning of the Shir, this idea that Chava was the first person to turn away from God, what, she was the first person to be active in the sin, to have light extinguished from the world, what better gender group than to have all women for the rest of human history always be the one to light Shabbos candles, to show that they are so committed to bringing that light back, to show that they are so committed to turning towards God, even though their ancestor Chava turned away from God, that all of them are committed to turning towards God because of this heinous sin that happened all the way at the beginning of womanhood. Now you'll say back to me, Rabbi, that's very nice, that's also a little bit chauvinistic, because we all know men, and we know a lot of men out there that have sinned, maybe it wasn't as bad as what Chava did, but okay, you can't blame all women for what Chava did. There are a lot of men that are way worse than most women. So what, men don't have any part in this? Women, men shouldn't have any priority in this? And that's why I believe that the truth is that although women have certainly been given that a little bit higher priority level, again, going back to what Chava did, there is a misconception that I would like to extinguish, now no pun intended, well, yeah, pun was intended, I'd like to extinguish this misconception that men have no role to play in lighting Shabbos candles. The Eish Lavram writes the following: the men prepare the Shabbos lights so they have a share in the mitzvah. There is a notion that people are so unaware of, and that is that men are actually supposed to play a role in lighting Shabbos candles. Again, if you have a man and a woman living in a house, the primary person is supposed to be the woman for the idea of the connection to Chava, maybe again this other idea that they are normally, usually, customarily more connected to some of the housework. Again, that's not always across the board true, certainly not in our generation, is that really, or even the previous generation, is that as true anymore, but in general, that was the stereotype. And so because of all these things, women did become the primary caregivers, if you will, of this mitzvah, but men are supposed to have a role in it. The fact that most men think that Hadlakas Neros doesn't apply to them, the fact that most men are under the misconception that say, okay, honey, you go light the candles, and I'm going to go to shul and forget about everything else, is a terrible idea, that men don't realize that they have an equal obligation to light, and it's just that the woman is fulfilling the obligation for them. And therefore, there is a custom among many for the husband and the man of the house to usually set up the candles for the wife. There is another statement that comes in the Mishnah in Shabbos that says that when a man gets home on Friday night, he should double check with his wife and ask her if you lit the Shabbos candles. Why does he have to do that? He doesn't have to do that, I guess, but he does that because he wants to show that he wants an equal role in this idea. An equal role in this mitzvah of lighting the Shabbos candles because he understands the significance of them. There's an additional custom that I think is probably incumbent upon some men to maybe consider taking upon themselves. I think those who do follow the custom usually have the wife do this one as well, but I think there actually might be something nice about the man doing part of it, and that is that people get confused. They think that when you light the Shabbos candles, that means if I have my nice Shabbos candles that are right next to my dining room table, all I have to do is light my Shabbos candles and that's it. That's not true. The idea of lighting Shabbos candles is that you're supposed to have all of your lights set for Shabbos. That means if you're going to be in your living room that Shabbos, and you're going to have the lights on that Shabbos, then you should have lights in there. So you're not going to light candles there. Why? Because you have your beautiful electric lights. And therefore, those lights actually do count for lighting Shabbos candles in that room. But there is a beautiful custom that some people have, and that is to turn off all of their lights before they light Shabbos candles, to turn them back on again, and then to go light the Shabbos candles, to show that all of this is really encompassed in this mitzvah of me lighting Shabbos candles. And therefore, there's no real reason why a man can't be the one to do that, to go around, turn on and off every single light, and to show that he wants to have that active role in this part of the mitzvah. Again, I think most people who follow this custom do usually have the woman do that as well, but nonetheless, I think there is something nice about having the man do that, to recognize that a man has an equal obligation in all of this. I'll conclude with one final idea, and we'll wrap all of this up, and that is from probably one of the most well-known New York Times issues in the New York Times history, and that is when the New York Times celebrated its centennial in the year 2000, it decided to publish a very special issue. There's a few articles written on what happened, what the New York Times did, and that is that at the beginning of their first issue in the year 2000, the New York Times decided to print three front covers. On the first front cover was the very first front cover ever of the New York Times, the one that was printed in the year 1900. The second front cover was that of the current, right, the year 2000. And then the New York Times did something fascinating. They predicted what the world is going to look like 100 years from then, and they printed the front cover to be in the year 2100. They did this about 20 years ago. And what's interesting is that in the final 10 years of the 1900s, from around 1990 to 1999, there was a very well-known reality that happened with the New York Times, and that is a Jewish philanthropist said, I want to spend my money well, so what am I going to do? He gave $2,000 a week to the New York Times to print when the Shabbos candle lighting time should be. Some people are aware of this, some people are not aware of this, and that lasted for about 10 years. That stopped in the year 1999, though. In the year 2000, when the New York Times came out with this issue, for the 2100, for the year 2100 cover page, the New York Times decided to include the Shabbos candle lighting time of what it will be in January 1st, 2100. And so everyone asked, well, what's going on over here? Who paid for this? And the answers the New York Times said, not a single person paid for this. Why did they add it? So the editor-in-chief, I think, of that time, the New York Times, was an Irish Catholic individual. And he said, you know what? We have no idea what's going to happen in the year 2100. But you want to know one thing that we can say for sure? You can guarantee that there will still be Jewish women lighting Shabbos candles in the year 2100. And there's an unbelievable fact in that, that this Irish Catholic non-Jewish editor of the New York Times totally encompasses and understands the value and the significance of lighting Shabbos candles, way beyond, I would say, probably what most Jews are aware of how important it is, that they realize that it still needs to be in the New York Times in the year 2100, and some Jews don't always see the significance. So what is this all about? How do we wrap all this up? And I think that the answer is that we have to take this down to the following idea. we have to try and understand the value and the importance of Shabbos in and of itself that we've spoken about so many times, and specifically the crucial role of Hadlakas Neros in the reality of Shabbos. That Hadlakas Neros played the role of lighting the spark that gets Shabbos started. And if Shabbos is so unimaginably important and so unimaginably valuable for building our relationship with the Creator, then how important must Hadlakas Neros be? Whether we or not we can feel it, we should understand logically and intellectually that if Shabbos is so important, then obviously Hadlakas Neros, the moment that begins Shabbos, is clearly incredibly, infinitesimally much more important than anything that we could actually imagine. So again, even though it is a rabbinic mitzvah, what it is and what it represents is that it is the beginning of Shabbos, and therefore we have to see the value in it. And I would therefore stress to conclude that while there are many men who don't take this mitzvah as seriously, that every single man should certainly understand that there is a clear and high priority of Hadlakas Neros, that one should at the very least, especially in these times when many people are still not going to shul, a lot of people are going to shul, but not everyone is going to shul, and it happens to be that most men are going to shul when their wives are lighting Shabbos candles. There is no better time than the present for a man, if he is home, to be able to watch his wife lighting Shabbos candles, and to have in mind that this mitzvah is mine also, that this mitzvah is not just for the woman, it's also for the man, that it's for all of us because of the beauty of what it represents. Again, that it is still a rabbinic mitzvah in all likelihood, but that every single commentary, basically from Moshe Rabbeinu and on, understood that this, well, probably not Moshe Rabbeinu because he wasn't the one to enact it, but fine, but you get the idea. Most Jews who were keeping this mitzvah, and that is to recognize how incredibly important it is because it represents the idea of bringing light into the world. When we say that it brings light into the world, what that actually means tangibly for us is that it is the beginning moment in which we set Shabbos aside from the rest of the week, and we say that we put all the other garbage behind us, all the other COVID craziness and all the craziness of the world behind us, and we light that match, we say, Shabbos is here. And since this action, this lighting of the candles is what does that, we have to find the true beauty in what this lighting of the Shabbos candles is all about. Everyone should have a Shabbat Shalom and a great night.